Maryland wins Michigan in a dominant way, then pulls off a stirring Kyle Busch tribute. And Carson Hocevar, you guessed it, he's back in the eye of the hurricane. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
We were tempted here on Fast Talk just to take last week's show, make a few strategic edits, and give it back to you again because the result was the same. It's another Denny Hamlin win as he goes back-to-back Nashville and Michigan. Let's hear how it sounded in the
Irish. He is spectacular at the end, the kind of day that championship runs are made of. Denny Hamlin down the backstretch.
Final time up the back straightaway for race leader Denny Hamlin. He has got this in the bag, working through turns 3 and 4 for the final time.
He's right in the middle of the racetrack. Nobody in front of him. He can coast from here. Denny Hamlin up off of the corner. Checkered flag in the air for the 63rd time in his career. Denny Hamlin wins in the NASCAR Cup Series.
Denny Hamlin in car number 11, the number made famous by the now late Ned Jarrett, wins by 11.11 seconds in Michigan in dominating fashion. Here's what he had to say.
You know, the only way I could tie him is I had to outlive him, you know. And so he's just an amazing competitor, someone that I learned so much from. And, man, that last lap or that last run, I drove as hard as I could to sync them up like Kyle used to do.
All right, let's go ahead and jump into that part, Alexis, right off the bat, because he made the reference about Kyle Busch there at the end. I don't know if Denny could have done a better tribute when he got out of his car after winning than having the hybrid Richard Childress, Joe Gibbs Racing, Kyle Busch flag and paraded around.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the tribute that he paid to Kyle, obviously very heartwarming, very touching. He talked about how it was kind of in motion from Monday of last week on, because once he won the week prior, he thought, oh, well, I could win again as soon as this weekend. And I really want to make sure that if I do and when I do, I pay tribute to Kyle in a great way. So it was a collaboration between Joe Gibbs Racing and RCR because there were trademarks from both companies. And it came together really quickly and really, really nicely. And I think it was a great tribute from Denny Hamlin for, you know, his very longtime friend and teammate, Kyle Busch. I mean, they talked about it on the broadcast. They were teammates longer than anybody else has been in NASCAR history. So very touching tribute there.
Brad Gilley, what do you think? Does the tribute to Kyle Busch almost outlive the race results from Michigan?
I think they actually both go hand in hand, and he talked about it. He won in Kyle Busch fashion. You know, Denny Hamlin is a guy who can get out to a lead and manage that lead, and we saw Kyle Busch do the same a lot, but sometimes Kyle Busch would just want to throw everyone down and step on him, and that's what Denny Hamlin did yesterday when he finally took the lead with 39 laps to go. He didn't go out there and manage the lead. He didn't look in his rear view and say, okay, I'm far enough ahead, I can back it down. He just kept going and relentlessly beat that team, and I did love the tribute flag with the RCR number 8, the one from Denny Hamlin's car, making the 18, which was Kyle Busch's number there, to Alexis's point, just all of those things coming together. I thought it was really, really cool, not just in the way he did it, but the way he honored it as well.
Alexis, I'm trying to get away from repeating myself week after week, make a conscious effort, but we're talking about the same subject matter. Denny Hamlin has been the topic of discussion on this show and pretty much every other racing program for the last 6 months, and I don't think that's a stretch. But now we're talking about him in a different way. Arguably right now the hottest guy in racing, and that replaces a even hotter at one point, Tyler Reddick. Do we let ourselves dream now for Denny Hamlin?
It's kind of hard not to. You know, I feel like I said this on the show a couple weeks ago, because you're right, we talk about Denny Hamlin every week. I feel like we orbit around him almost, like the NASCAR universe is in orbit around Denny Hamlin, because he is the topic of conversation quite often all the time. And for you know, the right reasons. Like, he is going out, they said yesterday on Prime, and I mean, it's hard not to argue it, that this seems like the best Denny Hamlin we've ever seen as far as, like, what, you know, he's doing on the racetrack and what he's capable of. You know, we go to Dover and he wins the All-Star race. Then it's Charlotte and he probably, you know, feels like he should have won that race, but he finished, I think, third in the top three. Then he goes and wins, and then he wins again from the back to the front 2 weeks in a row. It's just amazing to watch him do what he's doing. You know, I got some Twitter hate last week because I said I don't think he should, you know, retire anytime soon, that he's at the top of his game. I know he's talked about it. I know this is something that he, you know, has thought a lot about, but I also know how big of a competitor he is and how, you know, how much he just wants to win and has that competitive spirit. That's what makes him great. And I have a hard time seeing him just letting go of this crazy streak that he's on, because yes, he got to 63. He's, in my opinion, going to surpass that and be on his own ninth all time. Is it crazy to think maybe he could get to 76 if he kept driving like this and stayed in it for the next 3 years or so? I don't think that's crazy.
By the way, that just shows you've made it. Congrats on getting some Twitter hate.
It's fine.
That is the nice red badge of courage. Brad, I hear what Alexis is putting down. I didn't know if Denny was going to be broken from the way last year ended or not. And obviously anybody that thought he was wrong.
I would agree. And I think if you go back and look at his career, anytime his back is against the wall, he has the ability to just up his game that much more. And you look at whether it was knee surgery that he had for the first time and went and won Martinsville in Texas immediately after, to, you know, breaking his back and missing a handful of races, and still by the end of the year was able to keep a winning streak alive. Took him all the way to the finale that year to win at Homestead Miami Speedway, but he still did it, to all of the other things that have gone on. And you look at all of the, not just winning seasons, but the multi-win seasons that he's been stringing together, he is racing at an elite level. But I think is what is most impressive about this is Denny is not the guy that necessarily, when something knocks him down, you see him go into panic mode. He is taking control of these races. And now for 2 weeks in a row, he starts on the pole, gets sent to the back for two very different reasons, from Nashville to Michigan, and then still drives his way to the front and wins the race. But at no point did you ever see him panic. And the one thing Hamlin talks about often is how he constantly is managing his goals. And if he's running 15th, he might say to himself, okay, we need to get to 10th. But all of a sudden, if opportunity presents itself, he gets up in the top five. Hey, maybe we can finish third today, or maybe we can win. And I think that's one of the special things about him. He's constantly managing his goals. He's not the one that says on lap one, I just have to go for it and drive through the field. He knows how to put whole races together.
I think that's a perfect point, and I think yesterday's race is a perfect example of that, because he, you know, in Nashville, I feel like when he got sent to the back, he was able to kind of work his way up pretty quickly, you know, and it didn't seem like there was any trouble on their part in getting from the back to the front in Nashville. Yesterday, that was not the case. There was some parts of stage one where he was mired in the 30s, and it didn't look like he was going to get out of that. And just to Brad's point, they didn't panic. He didn't panic. The team didn't panic. They knew what they had to do. They methodically worked on it, finally got to where they felt like the car was great. And then, I mean, that three wide pass, you know, that final pass was an amazing move.
And then it was over.
And then it was over. Awesome. And he won by the biggest margin in the next gen era.
Well, aside from starting in the back, he got spun in one of the crashes and was pointed the wrong way on the racetrack.
Exactly.
And managed to get pointed in the right direction and go on and win it. Dale Earnhardt Jr. invoked a name on the Prime broadcast that I've not heard in a long, long time. And that was David Pearson. Mm. He said he's very Silver Fox-like. You got to be of a certain age to appreciate this. But Pearson was methodical. He laid back. And you didn't even know he was there until you got to the last 25% of the race. I'm starting to see that more and more from Denny Hamlin.
I agree wholeheartedly. But I will say when Dale mentioned that, I thought, is that kind of like a backhanded compliment? Because the Silver Fox meaning you're old, you know, yeah. But you're still a sly fox. Like, I think, you know, it is... fits him perfectly, and he is not old. He's 45 years old. Yeah. You know, in the grand scheme of things, he's not old. In the field, he is old. But he's doing things that other drivers at that age wish they were able to do or wish they could have done. Even incredible drivers at that age weren't able to do.
Brad, with that in mind, is there, you mentioned, you know, Kyle Busch was Rowdy Busch and he charged and sometimes just won races by absolutely smothering everybody. Is there a Denny Hamlin way, or is it just whatever the way is that day?
I think the Denny Hamlin way, and we're learning a lot more about this as time goes on and through his podcast, because he talks about a lot of things, but he actually truly does put in the work. And you hear of drivers, you heard it about Jimmy Johnson. We change a race car and all of a sudden it hurt his driving style. Same for Kyle Busch, or we lose practice now and all of a sudden that hurts what they do. Denny has the ability to continue to adapt. And when it comes to a racing IQ, I don't know that anyone has a higher one, but he puts in the work, and these are the things we don't see. This is the guy that, after qualifying Saturday at Darlington, goes back to the Joe Gibbs Racing Shop that night in Mooresville and spends a couple of hours on the simulator helping with the tire model. You know, these aren't things that he is posting on social media or talking about. I also think he just outworks everyone, and his experience and demeanor inside of the race car allows him to continue to compete at an elite level, plus his natural talent.
He has to have more hours in the day than everybody else.
Yeah, he does.
Because I don't know how he fits it all in.
Well, what is it? Luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right now, he's showing up prepared. Let's give you, in that vein, the Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. Top three spots again for the Toyota brand. Denny Hamlin, Erik Jones, nice run there for Legacy Motor Club in second. And Bubba Wallace finally puts a Band-Aid on the bleeding there, and he comes in third. Chase Briscoe was 10th. 13th went to Riley Herbst. Decent run there. John Hunter Nemechek, 14th. Ty Gibbs back in 25th. 31st belongs to Christopher Bell. More on Bell a little bit later on. And Tyler Reddick, his first DNF of the season, finishes 35th. That is our Toyota Performance Report.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family, it's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Denny Hamlin, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm David Stiles, and each weekday, Andrew Kurland and I bring you the biggest stories from the garage on our daily show, Garage Pass.
I finally got onto a smooth road and just did one of those nodders and woke up tumbling, you know, out through the middle of the desert. And we had literally a vehicle that would move down the race course and chase you. Well, our chase truck got into a fender bender in a small little town, and the guys got locked up in jail.
That's PRN's Garage Pass right here.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
Talk here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Brad Gilley, they raced in the Irish Hills of Michigan and set a record for cautions. What is going on? For the first 10 races of the year, we had virtually no yellows, and now it seems like the last three races, Charlotte, Nashville, and Michigan, the record crews are working overtime.
Yeah, I would not have expected that. And poor Connor Zilich is the first two cautions on lap two and just a few laps later, and for the third week in a row finishes last. And then not only did we have a big one, but we had a second big one. And we also had probably one of the hardest hits this next-gen car has seen, with a 20-minute red flag to repair the safer barrier that was very much dented in. Did not expect this at all. I thought we were going to be watching a lot of green flag running, some fuel mileage, and a lot of what we typically see at Michigan. I was pleasantly surprised.
11 cautions, Alexis. And let's follow up on Brad Gilley's reference there to Seabell. About as hard as you're going to see the crash between him and Chase Elliott.
It was an insane impact. I mean, you know, him and Chase Elliott are running pretty much side by side. Chase Elliott is starting to get out of shape, thinks he's going to spin, and then all of a sudden his car just shoots to the right, and Christopher Bell happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Bell took the brunt of it. If you haven't seen it, it's all over social media. You could certainly find it. But it was an insane impact. They showed where his side window came out and got the transponder, I guess, for Kyle Larson's in car, and just the way that window shot. I mean, it's insane. He's luckily okay. From what we understand, he was evaluated and released from the care center. He did not speak afterwards. And there was some information on social media last night about how he could potentially have wrist and ankle injuries, and that Joe Gibbs Racing would evaluate him during this week to see where he stands for this weekend at Pocono. But sending him our best, obviously. But you have to be thankful for what these cars are capable of doing. I mean, the safety that NASCAR has built into these cars is incredible, and I'm so thankful for it.
Well, you and I were texting each other during that part of the race because we didn't know Michigan doesn't have lights.
Right.
How long is it going to take to fix that wall? That I think 9 o'clock was their hard stop time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so they were racing the clock a little bit there. Turns out the crew did a great job. They put a patch on the wall, and away we went. There was another poignant part of that prime broadcast where Dale Earnhardt Jr. is talking about the safety improvements to the track and the wall. And all of that came about from the death of his dad.
Yeah.
And I just thought, wow, he handled that so well. He handled that masterfully. I don't know how many people can do that.
Yeah.
So good on you, Dale Jr. That was well done. And good on NASCAR for all the massive improvements they've made. So it paid off in a big way. Brad, we can't get out of here without talking about Carson Hocevar. He has a good day. He comes on and finishes fifth, and he's solid in the points right now. But once again, he's involved in an incident, and I don't know, is that clearly his fault, or is there a tendency for us, if he's around, to just say, look, he did it again?
I would say the latter. I don't think that was his fault at all. That was a racing incident. And if you go back and watch the replay, Kyle Larson either missed a shift, spun his tires, or just didn't get a great start. And then you see the two cars behind him, you know, go and then have to check up. The third in line was John Hunter Nemechek, and that's whose back bumper hit the front bumper of Carson Hocevar. And look, Carson Hocevar is going. I don't know at what point he was in his restart, whether he was grabbing a gear for a shift, watching his RPM, or whatever it was. But the fact of the matter is, if Larson had gone like everyone else went, we probably wouldn't have seen that. Now, Hocevar was involved, there's no question. And he's earned that reputation, don't get me wrong. But in this particular case, I don't put the onus on him for that big wreck.
You know, and credit again to Dale Jr., he was the one on the broadcast that was like, hey, maybe, you know, you guys didn't notice this, but Kyle Larson had a little bit of a moment. And you know, so that racing IQ, that acumen that he has to be able to look at that when everybody else is looking at it, and the first thing they say is, oh, well, it was Carson Hocevar. You know, that's valuable to have in the booth for sure.
I think there is a little bit of this. Well, if he's around, it's his fault.
Yeah.
Right.
We saw this 2 years ago with Chastain,
mm-hmm.
2 or 3 years ago. It was always Ross Chastain's fault. Cars aren't fast enough.
Not this year.
That's a different story.
That is tough to watch. I mean, mm-hmm. early in that race, Chastain was ready to go a lap down under the green.
Yeah.
With two cautions in the first period. And they'd caught him and were going to put him a lap down. But I think this is going to be interesting. We're going to talk about the big winners. And it's even more fun. We'll talk about the big losers from Michigan next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This July, it's more than a race. It's a full-on, wide-open NASCAR weekend. The Quaker State 400, available at Walmart, takes over Echo Park Speedway July 11th and 12th. Engines roaring, lights blazing. It's high-speed action on the track and tailgates that turn into stories. All under the lights. Bring your crew, make memories. It's a summer night you won't forget. The Quaker State 400, available at Walmart. Get tickets now at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
We spent the first 10 minutes of the show talking about Denny Hamlin, so we already give him credit for being the biggest winner, and thank you for the nice Kyle Busch tribute, Denny. You topped that off nicely. Brad Gilley, who else left Michigan as a big winner in your mind?
Oh, man.
Give me one.
If he does not,
give me one.
I'm going to reach way back on this one. Alexis knows where I'm going. How about old Eric Jones?
Yes!
With a runner-up finish.
18
points out of chase contention right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the even better part. It's not like that's
right?
Like lost in space.
Yeah.
Counting
for
something.
And, oh, and by the way, Denny won.
And it's a trend. He's had pretty good races over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and he has, I think he was as far down as like 30th or something, just a few, like 5 weeks ago, and he's worked his way all the way up to be, just a few points out of chase contention. So great race for Eric Jones, but also, great that it's becoming a little bit of a trend for them and that team. But they're in Toyotas, too. We talked about this in the break. Toyotas, I think you think about winners. You think about winners coming out of Michigan, and really this entire season, it's Toyotas. I mean, they are leaps and bounds above everybody else.
It feels like you can just watch the race without even knowing.
Yep.
And they look faster.
Sure.
They glue to the racetrack better. They get through the air better. And I don't know about any of that stuff. I'm just watching the race.
Sure.
And I'm going like, look at that.
Yeah.
week in, week out. Who else was a big winner, Alexis?
Oh, gosh. Well, there's quite a few. I would say Joey Logano in seventh. Joey Logano, the Fords have had, a pretty abysmal season. They have one win, Ryan Blaney at Phoenix this year. They every week in and week out, they seem to struggle. The 22 team mightily has struggled over the past month, 2 months, to come home with a seventh place finish, make up some points on some guys that also are having some trouble that got crashed out of the race or whatever, to be able to take advantage of that situation, finish in the top 10, a seventh place. And even he said it in his post race. He said, look, I'm not used to saying, oh, this was a really good day when I finished seventh. He said, but that's where we are. And today was a really good day because I finished seventh. So he's being a realist.
He admits that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I mentioned him earlier. I'm going to go with Bubba Wallace.
Yeah.
Third place finish. He'd been finishing down in the 30s. The last race, it was like, when's this going to stop? And you could think, oh, no, he could be spiraling. He got through a couple of crashes. That was a big thing because the number of cars that were out of this race was pretty hefty at the end of it. Surviving was a big part, but he did. He got a third. We'll go into points a little bit later on, but didn't have a bad day there. So for Bubba Wallace, he leaves there a big winner. All right, Brad. We go to the other side of the slate. To every alpha, there is an omega. Give me a big loser from Michigan.
I would say, it's in a lot of ways, it's hard to say. I'm going to say the biggest loser was Ryan Preece. And for a couple of different reasons, he had the incident on pit road with Ty Gibbs and then was involved in one of the incidents. None of his making a little bit later on in the race. In fact, Preece was going into this just talking about how bad Michigan has been for him throughout his career. And it's almost like a comedy of mistakes and errors and crazy things that could happen. And that trend continued. But the biggest hit is Ryan Preece dropped out of chase contention. The bigger hit, he would not be outside of chase contention had the appeals panel gotten it right and given him back his 25 points that he lost from the incident at Texas.
That's a good one.
Tough time. Yeah, he's averaging something like 27th in his last four races. That doesn't feed the bulldog.
Yeah,
Alexis?
Certainly does not. I know you said we were going to get to points later, but I'm going to get to him right now.
You're
going to
tie that into points, aren't you? Yeah,
I'm going to get to him right now because for me, the biggest loser was Tyler Reddick. You know, obviously he had a very fast race car, got caught up in the incident. I think it was the Hosovar, incident. Mm-hmm. And he went into the day with, I think, a 97-point lead, and he left with a 51-point lead. There was a time when people were like, no one is going to catch him for the regular season championship. He's just so far out there. He's got such a cushion. There's no way. Well, Denny Hamlin said,
"Yes,
you know, watch this." And he now, you know, has cut it almost 50 points in 1 week. So, I would say he's the biggest loser, at least when it comes to points.
I would say Denny would said, hold my beer, but Connor's not old enough.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man. Nice.
Connor Zillage can't do that. That's who my loser is. 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Four. You get that if that's a team that doesn't have the money and the finances and they run a few laps and park. This is not supposed to happen.
So dejected. No. He was the in-car audio that they played at his second spin. And he's just like, oh, come on, man. Like, what, can I catch a break? I felt for the kid. I really did.
He needs, I'm not going to say anything about Pocono. That's tough. That's probably going to be a long day. Maybe San Diego, maybe Sonoma back-to-back. He's a pretty good road course racer. He can find his bearings.
Build a little more confidence back up.
Because now there's zero confidence.
Yes.
Right now, I'm thinking he probably dreads getting on the plane to go to the track.
Oh, they're hurting.
Yeah, they're hurting, and I don't know that gets turned around, especially with the hype that he came into the season on. He's going to win, not just be good.
Yep.
He's going to win races.
Yep.
He's going to challenge SVG on the road courses. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. Part of that problem, though, and I can't help but think this, is that Trackhouse has lost not just a step. I feel like they've lost a bunch of steps. And Brad, you and I have followed. And Alexis, too, we have followed Ross Chastain's career closely. One, because he's worked on the PRN broadcast a lot, and we've got to know him. And this team looks like a shadow team.
Yeah, they've had good days, but they've not had great days yet. You know, Ross yesterday with a 16th place finish actually jumped up a couple of spots in the standings, but they manufactured that.
Yeah,
I mean, this was a car, to your point, Doug, at the end of stage one, he was running the risk of going a lap down on a 2-mile racetrack. But then you go back to Dover in the All-Star race. Connor Zilich ends up having a fifth-place finish, one where he drove through the field after having a pit road penalty. And Shane Van Gisbergen had an amazing night going on in the Coca-Cola 600 and was fast again at Nashville. They've had some highlights, but what they've not done is just simply been able to put everything together. And then you hear this from drivers all the time, the metric. I want to go to the next race and be in group number two because that's the preferred group to practice and the preferred group to qualify. But if you're constantly finishing last or in the bottom half of the field, you're not going to be in group two. You're not going to have those advantages, and it just keeps stacking upon itself. They need, and maybe that cure is going to be Naval Base Coronado in San Diego and or Sonoma Raceway.
Yeah, I mean, you look at SVG, and we've talked about him a couple times, you know, the last few weeks about how well he's doing on ovals. Well, his Cinderella story turned into a bit of a pumpkin this weekend at Michigan. He did not have a good race, and so he's going to be looking at getting to
those
road courses.
And they were never
courses.
Good.
No.
At any point during the
it
day.
It was a rough day for them, yeah.
Did you say, well, okay, maybe they get a top 15 out of that. That wasn't. All right. Even though Alexis kind of cheated, she looked at the answers before the test was handed out. We're going to talk about the points next.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best Bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. That's 800-890-5957.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Chase Elliott on his relationship with Napa.
It has fit for your 13th year together. They've been a great partner. I think as time goes on, those relationships get better if you're lucky enough to have a partner for that length of time, because they get to know you, you get to know them, we figure out what works for each other, and we can really start pulling the rope in the same direction. And I think that that's where our relationship has really thrived the most.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
We're past the halfway mark in the regular season as we grind our way toward the cutoff races for the Chase. It's kind of nice to say that, the 10 races that will ultimately decide the championship. Brad, let's start at the top of the ticket, so to speak. We hinted about this a moment ago, but Tyler Reddick's once insurmountable lead is not so insurmountable now.
No, and it's interesting. Over the past couple of weeks, as Denny has been winning races, you know, he gets asked about, well, do you think about the regular season championship? And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, Denny constantly readjusting his goals. And he was like, no, not really thinking about it. We can win the championship from second. And that's what he has said. Well, now, all of a sudden, it's within reach. It was like a perfect storm. Tyler Reddick has a bad day where Denny Hamlin wins the race again. About the only thing Tyler had going for him in that is Denny started at the back and didn't get any points in stage number one. But still, now that gap is closing 51 points. Now, I don't know that Ryan Blaney in third is going to be able to close that gap any further, but I love the idea that as we thought Tyler Reddick was going to walk away with a regular season championship, nope, things might change here over the next 11 races.
Alexis, I feel like this is a mouse eating an elephant.
One bite at a time.
That's what Denny has been doing to this big lead that Reddick had.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Because it did seem insurmountable at one point. It was like, okay, well, you know, everybody was like, well, it's a foregone conclusion. Tyler Reddick's going to win the regular season championship. And then just by fate and circumstances and a bunch of wins and the 15 points that come with wins every time, Denny Hamlin has been able to, as you said, one bite at a time, chip away at that lead. And I think when you look at, you know, we're going to Pocono. We very well could be talking about another Denny Hamlin win next Monday from Pocono. Yes. When you talk about the road courses, I don't think you're looking as much about wins at the road courses, but I think he can survive those. I think he can get good finishes and not have anything to really be detrimental to him. And then you talk about North Wilkesboro and, you know, all these other racetracks that are coming down the pipe, and suddenly you're like, oh, wait, this seems like it might be Denny Hamlin's fertile territory.
Denny
here
needs to whole serve two road courses.
And I think he can. Yeah. Top, I think he absolutely
top
can.
Top 10 his way. Brad, the other thing that kind of pops out to me looking inside the top 16 right now, Carson Hocevar is seventh. Daniel Suarez is ninth. And this is not like being seventh and ninth four races into the season. We're stacking up some races now. This is 15 races in, and these two guys are inside the top 10 in points.
Yeah, that was going to be my 1A when we were talking about some of the great performances from Michigan, because both of those drivers at Spire Motorsports raced their way to the lead yesterday. In fact, Hocevar even started with the lead at Michigan International. But and I know Daniel Suarez, they won the Coca-Cola 600 in part on strategy, but also with a fast race car that held off on multiple restarts, the top contenders of the day. And here goes Suarez again at a track where he had won before in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, out there driving to the front. I'm impressed. And right now, Spire is sort of going where Hendrick goes, but there were times in that Michigan race that I felt Spire was better than Hendrick on the racetrack.
Spire, at one time, Alexis, apologies, they were almost a punchline. Well, you go to Spire, they spend a lot of money, but they don't get a lot of results. All of a sudden, that's changed.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, when you think about it, because we talk about the big three teams. We talk about the teams that have the most manufacturer support, and they have this and they have that. And you look at what Spire's capable of doing and what they have been doing. You look at what 2311 has been doing, and we're seeing these teams that aren't the top dogs in the manufacturers still be able to you know, kind of outrun what we think or thought previously that they were capable of. And that's really impressive to me, especially when you think about Daniel Suarez and where he was and where he is now. And I bet you he's thinking, man, you know, I made a good decision. Now, obviously, everything's cyclical, and who knows what the future holds. But right now, his move was a good one.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm thinking, what did they buy in Suarez?
Right.
And apparently, they bought a pretty good race car driver. Brad Gilley, another kind of thing that catches my eye here. Let's go down to 16th. Austin Cindric, Alexis mentioned this earlier, is camped out there. Right behind him, Penske teammate Joey Logano. Which one of those two is more likely to make the chase? The 16th place Austin Cindric or the 17th place Joey Logano?
If I have to pick between the two, one or the other, I really have to go with experience on this. You know, Logano, they had four races in a row of 30th or worse, and that's what buried him down in the points. But Joey Logano is also a three-time champion. Paul Wolf, as a crew chief, is also a three-time champion. They know how to manufacture race days, and I do feel like here over the past couple of weeks, they've done a really good job of putting their head down and saying, we're not going to swing for the fences. We need to get a bunch of base hits right now. Let's build a foundation, at least get ourselves into the postseason, and go from there. And that's what they're working on right now. There are a couple of challenging races coming up, no question about that, with two road courses and some unique tracks as well. But I feel like Joey Logano and Paul Wolf have the experience behind them, plus the talent. If I had to pick one or the other, I would take him over Cindric.
I mean, it's hard not to go that way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what your gut tells you because of the fact that that experience is there and that it means something. That experience means something. But I will say I have been... It's hard because obviously Ford has had a tough season. Penske has had a tough season. But I'm almost impressed with what Austin Cindric has been able to do.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
He has done a lot more than what we're used to seeing him do in a season where we know that their cars aren't running very well. So that in itself is impressive to me.
Here's my one downfall part of Joey Logano. Their margin for error is zero.
Yeah.
Before, when they've won these championships, they always had a few cards left over to play. They don't have any right now.
Yeah.
And Brad used the swing for the fences a moment ago. They used to be able to play that card because if you swung for the fence and you got one over, it guaranteed you that you continued to play. It helps you, gives you a nice points bonus, but it doesn't lock you into the promised land. Joey's got a tough fight. That and the fact that, yeah, they had a seventh place finish at Michigan. They're just not fast.
I mean, and that's the thing, right? Okay, so we're talking about will they make the chase? Potentially. Potentially Joey might. Usually we're talking about will Joey win the championship. Racing the way they're
great
racing,
point.
The cars that they're in, yeah, right now, they may make the chase, but they're not winning a championship. Not in their current form. It's not happening.
That's a good point. And Brad, you echoed that. I guess I'm guilty. I need to rethink my thinking. Can you do that? I'm not even sure that's possible. But the way it works this year, before with the old system, win in advance, you could get in at 16th, win a race, boom. You're on to the next round. Brad, that's not going to work anymore.
No, there are no more rounds. And it's funny, but right before you said that, I was just thinking along a similar line that, yeah, you know, in I think his second championship, they had so many well-timed wins. You know, we start the playoffs and he wins a race. We get to the next round and he wins a race. You know, them winning the first race of the third round has been what's put them into the championship round, which they've been able to execute. You don't have that anymore. You're going to have to hit the ground running at Darlington Raceway, and you're just going to have to keep moving forward and forward and forward. And guess what? If you make the chase 16th, you're going to be at a 100-point deficit to the guy that goes in as the regular season champion. So already you're that far behind, and you only have 10 races to do it. Think about that. You'll have to make up at least 10 points on what was the best car in the field all season long.
But let's just keep in mind, Denny Hamlin just made up, went from 122 in three races to being 51 back. So it's not impossible.
It's not.
It's most likely improbable, but not impossible. Green flag, black flag is next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Shane Van Gisbergen for the final time up here in turn number two. He brought a gun to a knife fight today. And he got hammered by Ryan Preece. Brad Keselowski's off into the dirt as well.
The Toyota Save Mart 350 at Sonoma, Sunday, June 28th. Tickets at SonomaRaceway.com.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon in turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Pagan.
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Guys, that
took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Blaney, bottom of the racetrack. Chastain makes it three wide. He'd like to take a spot here on the backstretch, and he charges. He wants the lead in turn three.
Ross Chastain shot out of a cannon from the sixth starting spot. He has already moved up to second. The battle now for third on the high side. Kyle Larson, Riley Herbst challenging low.
Kyle Larson moves up to the top side. Going to lose a little bit of ground.
This is PRN.
It's a fun time of the year as far as the racing schedule is concerned because points do seem to magnify every race. The results are intensified because we are creeping closer and closer to the cutoff for the chase. I'm also curious to find out when we get there, and we talked about it at the tail end of the last segment, will the teams that are 10th through 16th just be decoration? Are they only there to fill out the numbers brackets, Alexis?
TBD.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you think about it and you try to crunch the numbers and you just look at, you know, what it's going to mean to have a 10 race stretch where you're on your game, because you know somebody is going to be on their game for most, if not all, of the 10 race stretch. And if it's one of those guys in the front,
it's more than likely, Brad, to be one of those guys
yes.
in the front because they've been there all year long.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
And look, typically the Coca-Cola 600 is the point where we see a transition, and who was good during the first third of the whole season or first half of the regular season might not be the team who is good as we get into the summer months. But guess what? That has not changed yet, at least after the Coca-Cola 600, because the last 2 weeks have shown a lot of the same players, and boy, it doesn't look like they're letting up anytime soon.
But I'm curious, when we get done with this year, will the 10th through the 16th seeds have made any noise? Will somebody in there break out and make a little title run, you know, and try to be the small college in the NCAA? I don't know. It'll be fun to watch. Let's go to this little segment.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
It's just something we do because the public demands it. Here we are again. Green Flag, Black Flag. I read carefully prepared statements. Our panel thinks them over very carefully. If they agree with said statement, it gets a green flag. If they disagree, if they're all in agreement, yeah. We'll start with Brad Gilley today. Denny Hamlin should always start at the back of the pack.
Green flag. Because guess who's entertained? We are. I remember back during 2020 in COVID, I started running some stats after 10 races, and I want to say like 5 of them or 8 of them, something like that. He went to the back for various reasons, and like 3 of them he won. I mean, it was just incredible to see how well he does when he has to drive through the field.
Doug Rice.
I'm going to agree with Brad. It's kind of fun to see him do it, knowing he can do it. One of the few guys that can pass that many cars.
Alexis.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give us the in unison. Wow. He probably would not like to start in the back every race just, you know, out of ease of operation. But I think it would certainly be something that's entertaining for myself and anybody watching.
Yeah, seems to do it well. Doug Rice, Legacy Motor Club will see a win this year.
Brad Gilley's looking at me with his eyes are burning because he's.
Someone just asked Doug, Kent, you just asked Doug if someone is going to win.
No, yeah. No, black flag. Brad just pushed me over the edge there.
Alexis.
Bless their heart.
I'm going to say green flag. Why not? We've got a couple super speedways left. I feel like it could happen there. Well, as far as the other racetracks are concerned, you're going to have to knock the Denny Hamlins and the. And the Tyler Reddick's out first.
I will say this before Brad talks. Eric Jones was definitely mad that he did not win.
Yeah.
And talked like he felt like he should win.
Yeah.
That's a big step forward.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Brad, what do you think?
Love that. Hey, look, we've got Darlington coming up. Remember, Eric Jones has won twice there. But I'll say black flag. I think there are too many other people taking trophies right now.
Yeah.
I know that's a shock, Doug.
Woo!
All right.
Your boy, Eric Jones, going to be disappointed in you, Brad.
I can't believe I was the one with the optimistic view
there. I know.
That is shocking.
Let's see if you're as optimistic about this one, Alexis. Here we go. Sorry, but it's just not in the cards for Brad Keselowski to see a win this year.
Oh, yeah, green flag. Yeah, I'm going. I mean, just because they're in Fords. I mean, just that alone seems to be a handicap right now. And so, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say black flag on that.
Brad.
I will say, now present the question again.
Yeah, it's just not in the cards for Brad Keselowski to see a win this year.
You know what? I'll say black flag because I think it is in the cards for Keselowski to get a win.
Carrot adventure.
I'll be the
where?
Optimistic one this year. Okay.
We need at least one.
That's right.
All right, Doug.
Green flag. As much as I want to see Bad Brad win a race, there's other cars that are just outperforming them week in and week out.
Yeah.
See, I knew Doug's answer, so I had to do something.
There you go.
There you go. Okay. All right. Back to Brad for this one. Josevar will win this year. See another win.
Green flag. Yeah, I think he had a couple of down weeks after, say, Texas, but I think he's sort of back to form right now. Green flag.
All right, Doug Rice.
Green flag.
Same. Green flag. Same. I mean, I think when you look at this, the speed that they're coming to at the racetrack, you know, every week it seems like it's going to be something that happens, yeah.
All right, we've got time for a little cherry on the top here, Doug Rice.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Of the four calendar months that contains some summer days, June is the best one.
No, black flag.
Oh, well, what is the best one?
In my mind, I'm a big July guy. I like everything about July.
Everything.
Baseball starts to mean more. You get to cook out a little bit more. It's consistently hot enough to get in the pool. I'm a July person. Of the summer months.
Alexis.
Are we talking May, June, July, August?
No, we're talking June, July, August, and September contains some
summer
days.
Well, I'm going September then.
You're going what?
Wow. September.
September, so yeah. You say black flag.
Yeah, I say black flag. September, my son's birthday is in September. I feel like September, you can have some still summery days, but you can have some that are a little bit on the cool side.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm going September.
Brad Gilley.
I'll say black flag, but because they all have virtue. June, the grass is still green. That won't be the same in July or August, at least not here in Texas.
Yeah.
July, we have July 4th. August is just hot. September.
Yeah, I don't know about August. August is like.
Leave
yeah.
one out, it's August.
You know,
okay,
I may want to change my vote to September because Alexis just reminded me that football season starts in September.
Ah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And when we think of summer, we naturally think of football, right?
Well, yes, we do.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, Doug Rice, on
I hate yours. Getting called out. It's just terrible. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll be right back with one last thing.
How does Chase Briscoe win? With the hands of his pit crew changing four tires in under 9 seconds. The voice of his spotter carving a path through the pack. His race engineer, systems engineer, all working tirelessly to shave off a tenth of a second. With his team at Toyota, his crew chief, his fans, his family, it's all of this all at once at 200 miles per hour. From the moment Chase joined Toyota to the moment he ends up in victory lane. So how does Chase Briscoe win? In summary, not alone. Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.
Thanks a bunch for tuning in to Fast Talk. We know you have a lot of options for your listening pleasure, and we appreciate it. And we've got some folks that listen devoutly every week. Why? I'm not sure, but we appreciate you. We do love you a lot, and thanks a lot. As we get on here, we try to have a little fun, but also impart some information, and it was fun. This was an interesting race to break down, Alexis.
It was, absolutely. It was an interesting race to watch. I found it thoroughly entertaining.
A lot to chew on in this one. Brad, I think this one could have been a turning point race with the poor Reddick finish and the Denny Hamlin win and a couple of other folks that really needed a good day getting those.
Yeah, I would agree with you. If you look at the point standings, it's hard to believe that after 15 races now, we see movement of three positions. That's right. How much Christopher Bell dropped. Four positions. That's how much Bubba Wallace gained. We had already talked about the gap that Denny Hamlin closed on Tyler Reddick. A lot of that has to do with the fact that NASCAR added 15 extra points for a race win compared to what they had before, and you could have 20 now on second place. So that is the fun thing right now, is that we still get this deep into the season.
Alexis, I know we've talked a lot about the dominance of Toyota, as well we should have. I don't know that it's foregone that they win the title, because last year we had two championships, and I realize it was a different point system, come down to the very last race. One of them won by the guy that won the most races, Corey Heim. Then we saw Connor Zilich let one slip away at the tail end, and Jesse Love won it. But maybe the different point system this year makes that less likely.
I think it does. I think it certainly makes it less likely. I think, you know, we sit here right now and there's still a lot of racing left to do. And this sport is such a grind. There's so much happens within a season that we're talking about certain players right now that we might not still be talking about when the chase starts in, 11 weeks or something like that. And so you just never know. Where we sit right now, it looks like, yeah, it's going to be a battle of the Toyotas between Tyler Reddick and Denny Hamlin. But things change so rapidly in this sport that, there's no telling. So please stay tuned to the end, because either way, it's going to be entertaining.
Brad, we mentioned Corey Heim. Of course, he won the truck race, even though he's not racing full time this year. And it was announced that he has secured a full time ride a couple of days ago for 2311 Racing. How impactful is that going to be, and how quickly will they feel that impact in Cup next year?
I think they'll feel it very quickly. And I know we gave credit, and Alexis even mentioned earlier, you did on the Toyota rundown, Riley Herbst is doing some good things in that car right now. Corey Heim obviously has a world of talent. I love the way 2311 announced this to the world and basically said, you can stop leaving comments in our post. Corey Heim is finally going to run full-time in the Cup Series, but I think he is going to be an instant contributor and performance enhancer to 2311.
Alexis, is this a case of the rich getting richer? I think 2311's rich.
Certainly. I mean, it's to a certain extent, but okay, look at who we talked about earlier in the show, and Connor Zilich, and look at the hype that he came in with, and look at the rookie season that he is having. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Corey Heim is going to be a great race car driver and be in the NASCAR Cup Series for a very long time. But when you come in as a rookie and you are now suddenly competing week in and week out, longer races, harder races, much more diverse talent in the field, I think it might not be as easy as we think it might be for Corey.
I feel like Heim does have, I like the fact he's getting a dozen races this year.
Sure, absolutely.
In Cup, to go out there and get a little bit used to this and won't come in cold I mean, the water's still going to be deep, and it's probably going to be chilly when he gets thrown in Daytona, but not as much so as maybe Zilich was.
Let's revisit this time next year and see where he's at. And he may have, and I'm sure he will have flashes of brilliance, but I do not think it's going to be all roses.
Yeah, I think it's easy to give flowers now, but we'll see if they wilt quickly. Let's jump quick. Give me a Pocono prediction, Brad Gilley.
Denny Hamlin, the track where he got his first win 20 years ago.
I mean, look, I said it earlier. It is so hard not to go with Denny Hamlin right now. It just, he's on a roll.
I'm
going to
make this a three for all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
someone's going to win.
Wins this. Denny Hamlin. Let's just leave it there. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Remember, keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at toyotaracingusa.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.